Welcome to TSF Life, a podcast ministry of the Shepherd's Fellowship Church in Marion, Ohio. TSF Life is designed to bring you biblical teaching in a relational way that's easy to apply to your life. Let's join Pastor Tom Hypes as we dive into today's teaching.
So I promise you it's going to be a little bit different today, and it is going to be different today. First off, let me ask this. Has everybody got a booklet? Every single person. This is not something that you share with your spouse. Anybody not need it? Anybody need a booklet? Lisa's on it. I mean, she's smacking down everybody. She's ready to hit you if you didn't get you. Okay, so you do need one of these, and I just don't want that to come off weird later when we get to it. I will say, one of the nice things about being home is the children. The children are kind enough to say that they miss me. At least Melinda's grandchildren came up to me and they said, "We hate when you're not here." That's what was my initial response. And then I found out that's because when I'm not here, somehow they don't get snacks. And I'm like, I'm sure there's no correlation between me being here and kids getting snacks and kids ministry. However, there is, because other people don't talk long enough for them to have snack time. But they missed me. They'll get snacks today. So, here's where we're at, if you're not familiar. This is the last Sunday of a season that we have been in for about 4.5 years. Looking back, I can see a little easier, just like any of us can, when it comes to 2020 back vision. And we've got another season that we'll be heading for in January. I'll give you more information with that as we get closer. We've got special things for Christmas, but it's not a season where we're just like, okay, that's complete, let's just move on. There's a section that we still need to really dig into as a church family, a very important part of that 4.5 years, so I really do think it's somewhat wasted. That's a little bit maybe too bold to say, because we still get nuggets and we still have little things here and there, but it'd be wasted if we don't have today. So let me talk a little bit about where we've been over those 4.5 years and what this season has been and what that step will be today as we gather. So we've been in a season that predominantly has been 100% about moving past lukewarm Christianity, being lukewarm church mentality, into living on fire for Christ and being fully in with Him and having the life of Kingdom of God living today that we should have according to what the Scripture calls us to for those of us who accept Jesus as leader and forgive in our lives. And we have done that pretty much through several different series built into that season as the Holy Spirit has led. For instance, if you've been around for a while, it really started out with the Jesus study. It started out with the last sabbatical that I was on. That was the extended sabbatical, four and a half years ago, and sitting under some study and some teaching with Michael Carr down at Billy Graham Training Center on the life of Jesus. And with that, we started out on, I think it was almost 2 years of just going through the Gospels, just looking at Jesus, who he was, what he said, and what we know scripturally instead of what we were just kind of raised with culturally or whatever the case may be. From there, we spent time, if you remember, on the four chairs. This is a discipleship model that we introduced into the church of how to know, like, where am I at in my, again, discipleship, but really that just means how am I growing to be more like Jesus? Where am I at with that? And we explored how, chair one, I don't know Jesus yet. I come and see. I accept Jesus as leader and forgiver my life by acknowledging with my mouth he's the Son of God. I believe my heart died and rose again. I give him back my life and I follow him, so now I'm a baby Christian. And we talked about the challenge that most people stay there. That's that lukewarm Christianity or that hypocritical Christianity we talked about. A lot of people stay, not really learning how to feed themselves, not learning how to walk by themselves, spitting up on themselves, all that fun stuff, instead of moving to where we were heading to get more fullness, which is chair 3 and 4, when I understand I have a mission, I have a purpose, I have a calling, that I'm supposed to be involved in that calling and leading others to Jesus, that I am supposed to be discipling people as they come to Jesus. So from what I've learned, I'm now investing into other people. And we see that we are the mature like Christ instead of I'm just a little bit nicer person than I was before and I kind of like going to a potluck every once in a while. right? So we looked at Jesus, we looked at how to grow to be more like Jesus. We looked at the early church, went all through Acts of what the first century church looked like, how that grew, how the Holy Spirit worked, what they learned, what they completed into. Then we moved into the three letters that we have been through, the heroes of our faith, and we looked at James, who told us how to be mature in Christ. We looked at Philippians, which we were told how to have joy in the middle of storms and sufferings and challenges that we go through in this world. And most recently, we've been in Romans, which has been really digging into that model that we've explored and found together. It's not something that I found in a book outside the Bible of what he is concerned about, that people accept Jesus as Leah, forgiven in their lives, but continue to justify sin, continue to have this lukewarm, hypocritical Christianity versus this is how you have freedom through submission. So we've been through a lot in 4.5 years, and God, I think, has done incredible things that he's put in front of us. I'll say that. Incredible things that he's put in front of us. This is also when we brought this picture into play. It was from a dream that God gave us that we've been exploring for, I don't know, a couple years, Andy, would you say? 2 years, 3 years? Which, once again, represents that season that we were going through where we got the lukewarm church here that, again, was popular and growing and all that great stuff. But when you went out the back, then you saw this whole different type of living. Then you have this beach where we're worshiping God. We're past all that stuff. And the water's calm before, and it's just it's submission and it's fullness, and it's got that freedom we're talking about. And we're building ourselves up so we can go into these storm areas, why we went through Philippians, right? And storm areas and be able to help others, to be able to get to the beach that are beat up, that are tired, that don't know any different. And they're trying to get to the beach, and we can go help them and bring them in and lead them to the Lord and baptize them and disciple one another. And I think, I don't know if there's another metaphor in this painting that I could possibly imagine that we have not covered. I would say those metaphors that I did not imagine that we covered as the Holy Spirit was. But as this retires today, just as far as being up here in this season, I don't know if there's anything else we can do outside of put Jonah in the well out there or something. I think we have beat that baby up as the Holy Spirit's led. So we have covered a lot. Now, you might be thinking, well, Tom, we haven't done Romans 15 and 16 yet. Okay, let me tell you about Romans 15 and 16. And if you want, I mean, I'm going to read a section from 16. If you want to turn there now, just to be there, you're more than welcome to. And I almost didn't do you version. I went ahead and did you version for you folks today. There is a second segment in there that we're going to read. But here's what Romans 15 and 16 really says, as far as the scope that we've been looking at it. It tells us, if you want to know what this life looks like, let me talk to you about Jesus. And he talks to you about Jesus as an example of what this life should look like for you and me as we follow Jesus. Then he says, let me give you another example. Let me tell you about myself. And Paul, with confidence, not cockiness, but confidence, says this is what my life looks like now because I am fully surrendered, because I am following, because I am taking and surrendering and confessing and moving forward. And then he goes in and he says, here's greetings from different people that I want to lift up to you. And the people that he lists are notable. You might not know a lot about them. Some of them will never know anything more than their name outside of that Paul mentioned them for a particular reason. He tells us about a female deaconess that's a church just outside of Corinth. That's one of the port cities. And says, greetings, she's doing great work in ministry for the Lord Jesus Christ. He then says, let me take and bring up this husband and wife team that have a church in their home, their ministers together. And they have done the work of God. They have put their neck on the line for me and for the gospel over and over again. Give them honor. And then he goes on to list, I don't know, like 15, 16, 17 other people within the greetings of people that he wants to note because they're on fire. And he talks to them in terms of family. He talks to them in terms of the work that they do. He talks about the terms of their faith and their faithfulness. All of them are listed because they're doing what we're striving for. Okay? You still with me? Now, that doesn't mean that's all the people he knows. It's not like, oh, well, Paul's in ministry, so all of his buddies are going to be on fire. Far from it. If you're in ministry, most of the people you know are not. But he also talks about those who are not. And that's where we'll go with 16 here. I'm going to jump over so I can put Romans 16, 17 through 20. is another group of people that he talks about for a moment. He says this, he goes, I appeal to you, brothers, appeal to you, sisters, to watch out for those who cause divisions and create obstacles contrary to the doctrine that you have been taught. Avoid them. For such persons do not serve our Lord Christ, but they serve their own appetites. And by smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the hearts of the naive. For your obedience is known to all, so that I rejoice over you. But I want you to be wise as to what is good and innocent as to what is evil. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. So who is he talking about there? Those who are the lukewarm. Those who are hypocritical. Those who cause divisions. I mean, I think a lot of times when we see divisions, it's like, man, they must be evil people to cause divisions. A lot of times people cause divisions and have a lack of unity, not because they're evil, but because they're self-focused on what they think is right in that situation. That's what we're talking about, the self-focusedness. They're not serving God, but they're serving themselves. There are people that are just that evil as far as what you see point blank. We see people called out all the time in ministry for these things. But for most part, it's because I'm causing the division because this is where the church is heading, and this is where what I want for me. Or this is what I want for my kids. Or this is what I want for my family. Or this is what I'm comfortable with or what I was raised with. So, I really can't tell you how many people visit this church and say, this is awesome. This is like nothing I've ever experienced. It's nowhere like the church that I was hurt in. And then within 2 months, like, can you change this and this and this to be more like the church that I'm comfortable with? It really is just kind of that national within it. He goes, watch for these divisions. Watch for the lukewarmness. Address those things and move forward in new and bold ways. Let me see what 19 says here. He says, be wise as to what is good and innocent and what is evil. Be wise to what is good and innocent, and also be wise to what is evil. So here's the part that we have to get to today. I'll start by sharing with you what was going on with me about 3, maybe 4 weeks ago. As we're getting closer to this time, and as we're moving into this next season, I knew the question has to become after 4.5 years. Do we see any change? That's got to be the question before we move on from it. If we're talking about these things as a depth as we have, do we see change between lukewarm in our church to being on fire in our church? Do we see individual lives going from lukewarmness to being on fire for the Lord and moving in kingdom God living? That's got to be the question that is asked. And so about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and this I'm just, I know I've alluded to certain aspects, but I wanted to wait till today to really dig into it. Asking that question, and with Satan trying to overwhelm me, I'll be honest with you, I was really, really frustrated with that question. There was so many things happening over and over again of people that I could see more of them in Christ than they saw in themselves, that you would talk to, and we were just, it was a weird season. I believe there was a spiritual aspect to it. But your go-to people on things like, hey, we really need help on this. No, I think we're going to skip this time. No, I don't think so. People taking and saying, well, I'll pray about it, and they never come back to it, and they never, honestly, sometimes they pray about it, sometimes they don't. People taking and saying, hey, I want to do this, or yeah, I'll do that, and then backing out. People saying, yes, I'll do this, or hey, this is something I have in mind, and then they don't back out, they just never do it. I mean, it was a very prominent season, and I'll be honest, I was dealing with a lot of frustration about 3, 4 weeks ago. So that's why I put myself on that 2.5-day sabbatical, that I really wanted to step off of God and say, what's real, what's not. You know, what should we be addressing? What should we, you know, is overkill, that type of stuff. And as I explained back then, I was blessed enough that my main mentor, Bob McCann, he's retired now, but he's been my pastor since my early 20s. And I love sitting and talking with him and picking things apart with him. And it just worked out. We were supposed to read the week before, but we moved it to like 2 hours before I went to Mohegan. And I said, okay, I'm going to take advantage of this as I'm going up to pray about this stuff. Bob, can we talk about what's going on in my heart? And so we talked, and he asked me a question. And if you want some church leadership one-on-one, this is the first question you ask every single time. I knew what question he was going to ask. I already asked myself. The very first question is, are you teaching to the concerned? That's the number one question in church leadership. If there's anything that's a concern with the church, are you teaching into it? And the answer to that is yes. I just explained to you the last 4.5 years. We just recapped all of it. We're absolutely teaching into it. Does that mean everybody's receiving it? Does that mean everybody has been invested enough that they've been here on the majority of Sundays for the last 4.5 years? You know, they're catching up on podcasts. I have no control over that. The church, the elders have no control over that. But what we do have control over, yes, it's been taught, and it's been taught boldly. So he asked the second question. And this, once again, has already been asked because it is the question you got to ask. Because I'm a big believer that you don't blame people until you looked at the process to see if there's something that could be fixed before you just start blaming people. And I'm not saying I'm blaming people, but that's just, I learned that a long time ago, and I stick with that. But the second question is this, is your leader is exhibiting the behavior that you're teaching? So in our church realm, that would be, am I living that way? Is our staff leading that way? Is our elders leading that way? And as we add deacons, that is still going on behind the scenes, are they living that way? And I can say, boldly, yeah, pretty much. There have been some areas that had been identified that all of us could do better, and we had already started having some conversations in those areas. We've had more meetings since then, since that sabbatical. Had sent out some more communications on areas that we could step up to be on fire for the Lord and not get to that point where you're just kind of becoming lukewarm in your walk here or lukewarm in your walk with the Lord. So those things are being addressed. But for the most part, it's been there. So the question then becomes, so what's the problem? Do we immediately just start saying, well, all the people are just cantankerous and you guys are all going to hell anyway, so what are we doing here? No, I mean, not, that was supposed to be a joke. No one laughed. Maybe you feel convicted. Maybe you feel convicted. But it wasn't that. I don't believe that's where we were. So I go back with that to this sabbatical. And an interesting God ways of working. Coincidentally, we had just started the new Right Now Media Bible study online group. For those who couldn't, I still believe if you can be here on Wednesday night or you can be, or we start new groups or if you want to start a group, whatever, the more we're together, the more church we're actually doing. That's Christian community. But like the live feed, some people can't do that. And can we do some online community to kind of band-aid that or to help with that a little bit? And so we're doing an experimental one right now that, I don't know, maybe about 10 or 12 people are part of. And the first one that I put out was 1 Thessalonians. I'll be honest, I didn't put a lot of thought into that. It just was the one we were starting with because this is a test drive. Let's just see what we end up with. And so if you're part of that group, you might remember some of the discussion that I put into it. But so this first week, and we just started 1 Thessalonians, and I'm up there on having this time with God, and I was like, okay, I'm going to do the first session. And I come across a verse that Paul writes to the church of Thessalonica that was just, anyways, you'll see. 1 Thessalonians 1:4 through 7. Let's see if I've got a easier read. Nope, not at all. I'll read it from there. For we know, brothers, sisters, loved by God, that he has chosen you. And we know that's true here. If you've accepted Jesus as Savior in your life, you've been chosen. Because our gospel came to you not only in word, but also in the power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction. You know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake. There's that leadership aspect we talked about as well as the teaching. And you become imitators of us and of the Lord, for you receive the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit. Affliction, again, going back to our Philippians, so that you became an example to all the believers. Do you just see how loaded that verse is? I mean, just loaded. So we've got the teaching there. We've got the leadership example there. And again, we can always go in these two areas. The two things that we need to look at today is this. Are we receiving it? Are we receiving it in the power of the Holy Spirit? Because the power of the Holy Spirit is what we need to actually change. If it's just Tom taking feeling bad for a Sunday and I'm going to do a little bit better, that only goes so far. But the power of the Holy Spirit that dwells within me as one who has accepted Jesus as leader, forgiver of my life, then I'm receiving it in power. Are we receiving it in power? And are we receiving it in conviction? Are we receiving it in such a way that we are broken in our areas of lukewarmness? That we are bothered by our hypocrisy? That we're bothered that it becomes one or two Sundays a month on Sunday morning, and it's not more? Are we bothered by that I'm judging things by what Tom wants or what Tom feels, what Tom family wants, instead of submission to Jesus Christ and what he's doing and being a part of it in a way that brings real change and impacts the kingdom of God through the power of the Holy Spirit within me? This last 4.5 years, are you receiving it with the power of the Holy Spirit and with conviction to where there's actually life change? And I'll be honest, on that sabbatical, I spent time with God, and about half of my frustration was me. I sat down and I got out paper and I just started writing down everybody in this church that volunteers and helps us and does the ministry. And it's plentiful. Plentiful. Everywhere from our kids workers to youth group to Audrey doing the bulletins to people taking and doing the worship team. I'm just all the way across the board. Lawn Heroes taking and doing the lawn care thing. All the way across the board. There's a lot of people volunteering and it's great. But I would say probably 40% of it was legit. And we are or have been in a season where we're not stepping up. Are we receiving? And is it with conviction? That is questions for today. You still with me? Anybody mad yet?
No.
Give me time. We can talk. I mean, the kids want their snacks. So at this point in the Sunday morning live experience, we left our live feed and went to a total in-house experience with those that are at the church that day. Did put some basic instructions out so people could kind of get in the same ballpark through either Facebook or YouTube or through our website. But most of what we did had to do with Q&A, had to do with discussion, had to do with prayer time, and a little bit more of an experience that just, again, would not translate online. However, if you are not able to be there, I will do the same. I will give you some basic instructions here on the podcast version so that you can get in the ballpark of where we were, because this is a very important Sunday to us as the Shepherd's Fellowship. And even if you've not gone through the last 4.5 years of study with us, there are still some things that you can do, either by going through some of the podcasts, especially the Romans ones, as the ones we mostly highlight in this particular response time, or you can do your own Bible study, and you can use this method to, again, get in the right ballpark, because now we're moving into Christmas season. After that, we're moving into a whole new season that is building on the one that we went. But as I said in the sermon, we must have time to look at, are we receiving the teaching and are we following the leadership with the power of the Holy Spirit and with conviction, which means bringing change as God leads? So if you are going through this at home, let me just ask you, get a piece of paper, get a pen, write down these things, and then spend some time going through a self-assessment on whether or not you've been receiving the teaching with conviction and the power of the Holy Spirit by saying, am I different now than I was when this all started? You can gauge this from the time of the beginning of Romans, since most of this is through the Romans method, but you can also do it over the last 4.5 years if you're a fellowship and you've been with us for some time. But especially over the last 6 months, have you seen change
with some of the things that we have been talking about. So we handed out everybody these booklets. These are what have the assessments in them. Within those assessments, there is the method that we have found. There it is. That's better. Through Romans, through what Paul has been talking to us about, that again, we are all unrighteous, born into sin. We need Christ. The salvation comes when you accept Jesus as leader and forgiver in your life by acknowledging with your mouth and believing in your heart he died and rose again, and you're following him. And then when people follow him, again, you're giving your life back to Christ. So there should be major change versus when you're just trying to do it the world way or our own way. So Paul has addressed over and over again that sometimes we lean into submission and what the word has for us, what God has for us, which leads us to a life of freedom, a kingdom of God living now in our lives. But many, many will take and accept Jesus to lead and forgive their lives and continue to justify sin in their lives, continue to come up with reasons why it's not that big of a deal, or this is what I want, or those type of things. And we lean away from submission, which leads us to lukewarm Christianity, or leads us into hypocritical Christianity or hypocritical churches. And that does no one any good, and it does not please God. So by using this model, then we went to this page here over and over again. And I gave several different topics, okay, that you would put in here. So the first one we'll do here in a second. Then they have this model. You can don't have to use this model. You can do it however you want. But if this, boop, I'm trying to go backwards, is your starting point, let's say at the beginning of the Romans series, and this over here is today, how would you rate yourself as far as what God put on your heart at that particular time? So if you're doing better, put a circle up here. Maybe it's just slightly above the line. Maybe you haven't had a lot of change or a lot of change. Then put something over here if you've gone backwards, and put it right on the line if nothing has changed. Nothing has changed. You receive the word, but nothing really came out of it. And then these notes down here are places just, again, put thoughts, whatever the Holy Spirit puts up while you're taking and evaluating that particular topic. If you have questions and you want to hook up with me later and talk questions, put those questions there, but then move forward. Then, if you notice on the prayer chain, I added some homework to it, so I might as well put it here too. When you get done putting, okay, this is where I was, and this is where I'm at now, then try putting the circle where the word wants you to be. Because it might be that you saw some change and you're like, oh man, that's great, I'm doing awesome. And then you put the circle where the scripture wants you to be and the circle's like way up here, then you still have room to grow. And again, we're looking for conviction that leads to repentance that leads to grace. In other words, we're looking for areas that we can grow in. So it doesn't have to be this big, heavy, I'm a loser thing. It is all of a struggle. Where are we struggling? Where are we growing, and how do we grow more is the purpose of this. So let me go through. I'm going to pull up my list, because I didn't do that before I started here, of what topics we talked about in Romans. Here we go. That we assessed on Sunday. And I'm just going to say them to you somewhat quick. I'll do just a little bit of recap of what those were. So you have that, and then go back and do it thoughtfully. Don't let my rushing here rush you. But the first topic is serving in the church. Now, again, we're getting into Romans 12. If you want to do this on Bible study, these go in order from Romans 12 through Romans 14. But serving in the church, we talked about one body, many parts. If any part is not doing well, then the whole body is sick. All of us matter. In the local body church, we're made to serve within the local body church according to what Paul shared with us. So things to ask yourself in this particular assessment is, am I serving in my local body church? If you're a fellowshipper, are you serving in TSF? There's good things to do when it comes to things like charity and extracurricular events and those type of things. But Paul specifically was talking about serving within the church. How is that going for you? Forgive the phone call. Do you accept the role and then bail out? Do you accept the role and then fumble it? Do you keep your commitments? Do you make commitments? Do you justify not serving the church because there's other priorities that maybe don't impact the kingdom of God that we quickly lean into because we like them? Do you show up? Those are the type of things as far as serving the church. So that'd be one if you wrote that down once. The second one you're going to be doing is talking about authentic community. And we did this on Back to Church Sunday. So you're going to think of it from that standpoint. Again, we have a huge hope for people who have been hurt by church, hurt by Christians, hurt by pastors before. And a lot of times when you listen to people's stories, it has to do with that Christian or that church or that pastor not being authentic to the Word of God. And so we looked at Chip Ingram's statement there of authentic Christian community occurs when the real you, not a fake you, not an image of you, but the real you meets real needs for the right reasons in the right way. So what kind of things come up there? Again, write that down, kind of get a thought around it, and then do your assessment after. The third one we talked about was, are you following and submitting to a proper authority? Paul told us here, let everybody be subject to governing authority. So when it comes to authority at work, spiritual authority throughout the local body church, family authority, how it's supposed to be biblically, we talk about politics. How do you submit, and are you submitting to authority in the proper way? We talked about abusive leadership and how to deal with that. We talked about sometimes it's not the leadership that's off base. Sometimes we just don't want to submit, and we have our own ways that we want to do things. So we talk about submission issues. Those are some of the things within spiritual authority. Next one is genuine love. Paul tells us, owe no one anything but the debt of love. Love fulfills the law. So we talked about things like adultery, that's not genuine love, and it actually violates the sacredness of family. We talked about murder and how that is a violation of the human life being valuable, according to the scripture. Stealing, where we don't recognize the public rights of others, and coveting. A lot of times we think coveting is like, oh, I want what they want, or I want that boat. I like the definition that coveting is the control of one's desires, that you have some self-control over your worldly desires, and you are content and happy with the blessings that God has brought you. So how do you do with genuine love? The last area of Paul's that we went through was talking about gray areas. This is Romans 14. Again, all these podcasts are available if you want to go deeper. But basically, when it comes to gray areas, we talked about opinions, things that are not black and white in the scripture. Again, the prominent example that people usually bring up is, can I have a beer? And we've looked at how drunkenness is a sin. You can't, being drunk is a sin, point blank, but having a beer or having a glass of wine, people are going to fall different places on that. And since there's nothing black and white in the scripture on that, then as you read the scripture and you seek God on that, and God says it's okay, I mean, you will truly feel it's okay, then it's not a sin for you. If you feel that it's wrong, but you really want it, and you do it, then it's a sin because you're going against your conviction. So we looked at that model and how that works, and even to the point of not making other people stumble and having stumbling blocks in love. So if I think it's okay to have a beer and my buddy really stumbles with that, maybe they struggle with addiction and they just think it's a sin, then I have a beer in front of them. Knowing that, then I'm not acting in love, and thus drinking the beer is a sin. So how are you doing with gray areas? Are you truly seeking those out, or are you just going with your own opinion right off the bat and then just not wanting to think about these other areas? So for sure, we gotta be able to address that. I don't know who's calling me. No one ever calls me at the church. It's always on my cell phone, but we'll take it. I'll check it in a little bit. The next thing we talked about, 1, 2, 3, financial faithfulness, time faithfulness, and resource faithfulness. The money God entrusts us with, if we're tithing, if we're offering, if we're being generous to others, if we're being good stewards of our budget, if we're paying our bills and we're taking care of our debt, are we being good financial managers and faithfulness the way that God calls us to? Time, exact same thing. Time has gotten to be quite an idol for people, quite the chaos for people, and a lot of people are moving God aspects down while other things fill in that gap. So we have to manage that and teach our kids in this society today how to manage time in a faithful way. And then resources. If you have a house, you have a truck, you have a boat, you play guitar, you know, whatever the case may be, whatever resources God's entrusted you with, how are you using that and that faithfulness? And then the last one we covered is this, sins. Romans was a tough, tough series, and he brought up a lot of different sins, and we brought up different examples of sins that really pushed to the core. So in that last one, what sin do you struggle with? We talked about drunkenness, we talked about gossip, we talked about same-gender sex, we talked about premarital sex, we talked about extramarital sex, we talked about lust, we talked about laziness, we talked about all kinds of different sins that people struggle with. What sin do you struggle with? And as we went through Romans, talking about justifying versus not justifying and going into submission, how are you doing? Are you doing any better in those areas? Are you still justifying, or is there still more room to go? So many people, when at the beginning of the Roman study, they took and filled out letters, and I've still got a few of them here at the church, and put them in the altar of a big area that they're struggling with when it comes to sin. And we handed them all back now at the end of this series. I think it's been about 4 months for them to consider at this time as well. So if you filled out one of those, this might be the perfect thing to assess yourself on. I've still got several here who weren't able to be here Sunday. Go back through those. Think about those. I still have them at the church. If you forget what you put, come get it from me. But to be able to dig in more and more and more into these. Are you doing better? Are you plateaued and nothing has changed? Or are you doing worse? And then when you figure out where you're at, how are you doing comparing to what God calls you to be? We spend a great deal of time in prayer and talking and supporting and encouraging each other from the power of the Holy Spirit aspect. Please bake this with prayer, your assessment, your personal assessment on this, and dig into it. And like I said, if you have any questions, come and talk to me. But before we move forward into the Advent season, please look at everything that God has invested into you, especially if you're a fellowshipper, especially if you've been around for the last 4.5 years, as described at the beginning of this podcast, and say, am I different? Have I grown? Have I gotten victory through Jesus Christ? And am I living by the power of the Holy Spirit instead of just the same way I have been for eons as a tier 2 Christian, as a lukewarm and person in a lukewarm environment that God says, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. I'd rather be hot or cold. I don't want you to be lukewarm. Check out Revelations 3 if you want more information on that. We've got to move forward and we got to grow. So as we continue our discipleship, I invite you to come back to Shepherd's Fellowship as we dig into these new things. But make sure you put the bow on this last season before you try to open another present. Thank you, guys. Be blessed.
If you were blessed by today's teaching, we hope you return for our next podcast. Or, better yet, stop by the Shepherd's Fellowship any Sunday morning to join us live. You can learn more about the church by calling 740-382-3500. Or check us out online by going to tsflife.com. That's tsflife.com. You can also support the ministry of TSF Life by donating at our church website or sending support to the Shepherd's Fellowship, 1647 Marion, Marysville Road, Marion, Ohio, 43302. Thank you for spending your time with us today, and we look forward to seeing you soon. Be blessed.